Welcome to Rock That Relationship, a podcast about all things relationship with Corey and Tracy.
Now let's get real and start creating relationships that rock.
Welcome everyone to Rock That Relationship. We're here this time around all about soulmates. This is the great topic of our entire series this time. And today's episode is about divine attraction. And it's about how we can be attracted to people, not necessarily always in like a lover or romantic way, but on a soul level. And we can also potentially be repelled by certain people on a soul level. And sometimes this feels like without any kind of rational explanation. So let's talk a little bit about divine attraction. So we'll open it up. Let me ask you this, Tracy, have you ever been just drawn to someone without kind of knowing why in particular? It wasn't like you had a personality thing where you're like, oh, we get along so well, but just like you had like,
I mean, you're not meeting on a dating app. Like I met my wife on a dating app. Like,
yeah,
are you talking about something different?
Like in person, like in person, have you ever been around?
You meet them and then you're just like, oh no, I don't think I have. You mean it? And like, you meet them and then you're like at a party and you're like, oh my God, I feel drawn to this person.
Yeah. I mean, it
so
could be, it could be at like a social.
No,
event,
but
it could
I felt be like, repelled by it. I felt.
You felt repelled, but it could even be like in a workplace where there's just someone you get along with so well, right? It's not like in the initial meeting. It's just like, there are people that you're really drawn to and want to be around. You've never had that.
No. I mean, I feel like people are drawn to me. I mean, I've been told by, you know, a number of our psychic kind of people that I'm very magnetic, but I've never felt like, I mean, I've become like really good friends with people, but like my best friend, when I first met her, I was like, mm-mm. And then we became best friends. So
wait, well, how did you go from mm-mm to best friends?
When we were, I met her at a party. I did have my dog there. It was back in the 90s, and it was like, what's the reason? I thought she was too thin, and then
So you were repelled by her because of
no,
her?
No, not repelled, but I didn't think like, oh, that's a person I really want to become friends with. And then we became like best friends. It just happened over a number of years. I've never had that experience other than like, now we're like, I know immediately. I shouldn't even say immediately because I didn't know night one when I first met my wife because I wasn't sure she'd be into me. But I knew like on our first date that that was it. But I haven't like, no, I mean, we've talked about this before, but I don't have those people in my life. I don't feel that way. You have a lot more, oh, this person's in my soul circle. This, I don't feel that way. I don't feel that way about people. Like my closest friends, I just feel like I'm friends with them now.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
Do you feel like anybody's in your soul circle besides your wife, but just like friends or neighbors or family or people you've just met at the bus
stop? No, it's you and my wife. That's it. So okay. You hold a sacred place.
All right.
In my life, you should be really happy about that because obviously I agreed with you to keep coming back to this crazy place, right? To do these things, but. And I don't know that, I mean, I didn't feel that the day I met you,
no.
But over the time that we've spent together and all of the things that we've done and gone to psychics, I do feel that that was explained. I mean, you know, there were other things explained to me like, oh, this person was karmic, this person you were supposed to learn from, this was, you know, I do feel like I have like resolved some past life stuff, but I didn't feel that when I met the person, like there was no inkling of that. You have a different feeling.
Yeah, usually mine's more instantaneous or at least
right. Much
quicker. It might not be the moment I meet them, but it's pretty quick on.
I mean, well, none of my close friends are like, oh, I think we're souls, whatever. They don't, they're just all about this life.
Yeah. You've never talked to them about any of that stuff?
No.
No.
No, but my wife told me that she knew we were going to be together, like when we met.
Yeah.
She just knows it. She knew it. She knows it.
Okay.
So like, I feel like that's the only time I've really felt like that. Like I had that weird twin flame thing, but that turned out to be a mirroring thing and was so like, could have potentially been so destructive and ick, you know?
Right. You were drawn to that person for a different reason.
Yeah. To learn something.
Yeah. Well,
but you have these different things where you're always like, oh, I feel like this cat was there. I mean, you know, everybody knows how much I loved Mau Mau. She had her own Instagram, but I never felt like there were any other ties. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. It was a cat. I liked her. I didn't feel like I loved that cat, but it, not because I never felt like, oh, I know this cat, you know?
Yeah. So you haven't really even had that with pets. I mean, I've had it with people and pets.
No, I did think one dog came back to me, and I used to test him by calling the female dog's name Sarah. I'd say Sarah to Milo, see if he responded. They were just so similar.
And did he?
Sometimes he actually did.
Oh, well, maybe it was reincarnation.
Yeah.
Huh.
But I always think, why would a dog want to come back as a dog? That's kind of sucky. And they were both strays, so like, would you really choose to come back and be a stray? I don't know. So, no, I'd say no. This one's all yours.
So it's my whole episode right now on divine. Mm-hmm. Well, we're doing a divine attraction and divine repulsion.
I have a bunch of repulsions.
Well, okay. We can talk about those. So let's talk about divine attraction first, because I think our listeners are, you know, some people have it immediately, more like me, like immediately or at least quickly or early on, where you are like, ooh, I'm definitely connected to this person somehow. I've been able to do that by looking at pictures of people. And then I feel like I'm like, I know this person. I feel immediately like they're supposed to be in my life. I have my closest friend from college. I just know that we are somehow connected. We could even go like a year without talking in this lifetime. And we just, it's so easy. Everything is so easy. And I just feel very drawn to keeping that friendship. I mean, I have a friend of mine from high school who you've met him, and he's just lovely. And I feel like he's definitely somehow in my life on purpose. And I was immediately drawn to him in high school, and he's still an important person in my life today. And it's not even like, oh, you made a good friend from high school and you kept that all these years. No, it's like, there's something deeper. Like I was drawn to these people and they've sustained. So it's like, if I honor the draw, and I lean into it, these people end up staying around because they're...
But did you feel like that in high school?
Yeah, I did. I did. I mean, so much so that even as someone who was like grappling with my sexual orientation, I found myself attracted to him to date, even though like I'm not attracted to men. It was because I couldn't figure out what that attraction was. Right. And I look back. Right. So maybe I didn't identify it now or then as what it was, but.
But you felt like, I have a friend from high school who's gay who I hung out with all the time, but like, and we're still friends now, but I would have never feel like drawn to that person.
Yeah.
No, and certainly not to date. My God.
Well, I feel drawn to people. Like when I meet them, I can tell right away, like, okay, this person is somehow supposed to be in my life in some way. I feel, and right now what I'm trying to do is surround myself with people who, not all of them I have to feel a draw to, but I'm trying to make sure that at least I don't feel repelled by any of them. And
well, you can't help it if you feel repulsion. There's a witch living in my neighborhood.
Well,
I literally feel like she's a witch. Like I feel when she comes near me that I like, and it's interesting because my stepson said he doesn't even like to go in that area by her house, but I never told him that, but he hates to walk the dogs over there. And I feel like she's an actual witch. And I look at her and I think, witch, she's a witch. She's a witch.
Why?
And I'm like, get away from me. I don't know. Past life. I feel like she's just looking at me in this way that makes me so uncomfortable. She gives me the absolute creeps.
Wow. Have you ever talked to her?
Yeah, many times. I can't stand her. I want to like slap her. I mean, that's how I literally feel like I want to slap her. I'm like, get away from me. That my whole body is like, get away from me. Like, I hate you. It's like, and I'm not like that because I'm very like friendly. Like the kids next door come and jump on me. Like, Tracy, Tracy. Like I'm super friendly. And this lady I want to slap and push away. And she's like an older person. Like, she's innocuous. Other people look at her and think she's totally innocuous. And I think witch, like, that's what comes into my head. Like, witch, get away from me. I don't like it when she talks to me. I'll turn and go the other way when I see her. Sometimes I don't even look at her. Yeah.
Wow. Well, mm-hmm. I mean, you've had more repulsion. I mean, I have a lot of repulsion. I mean, but I also have a lot of draw, right? Like, I have a lot of connection where things feel natural and easy, you know? And
I mean, I have that, but it never feels like I'm that person who can talk to anybody at a party. I can talk to people at the bus stop, whatever. But I've never been like, oh, I know this person. Never.
I wonder if it's because you've never met anybody that you've known before, or not anybody, but a lot of people, or maybe as you continue to open your psychic abilities, you become more attuned to it.
It could be. I mean, when you and I first met, I didn't particularly think like we were going to be friends. Did you feel like you knew me? Because according to these people, we've had multiple lives together. Did you feel like you knew me? I mean, clearly no. We were ended up talking for a reason. Now I believe that we were meant to meet because neither one of us originally was going to go to that party. So I think that we were meant to meet at that time, but I never, not until we started going to the tarot card reader, the psychic and all that, that I really felt any kind of, okay, well, this makes sense. But I, like in high school, you described that. I mean, I have friends from high school, and I went to high school in the 1980s, and I never had that feeling. And I mean, I'm, you know, claircognitive, so I know things, right? I have knowings about things, but no, maybe I just never encountered people.
That's what I'm wondering, if you either never encountered them or you are still opening up portals. I mean, when I met you, I didn't necessarily think I was drawn to you, but when I was drawn to you was actually the second time we met. We were on that walk, and then we went to the coffee house and we started talking about Machu Picchu. And I was like, I had sort of like this little, it wasn't a deja vu moment, but it was kind of like a, something's interesting here. And I even wrote about it in my book where I said, I felt like I was on the right track. I literally wrote that in my book. And
I feel like at that coffee meeting, because not on the walk, we were with two or three other people.
Yeah.
It's like the other people, well, one I found repulsive. And I think some of the things that she was saying, you and I did, were total, you and I were in agreement the way that we looked at things like monogamy and all that stuff. And that other person's, the stuff that they were saying was like, to me, like, whoa, this is not my scene. And then it's kind of like the other people just kind of fell away. That's how I felt about that. Like after that day, we were like friends.
Yeah.
But we'd met once before. And then that meeting was like, okay, well, this cemented it. It's funny because like if I say, oh, we have so much in common, it's like when we talk and when other people see us talk, they're like, oh my God, those people are polar opposites. But we're really not. It's just we have very different takes on things. I think we're interested like in a lot of the same things. But I think our values, do you remember our values lined up that day?
Yeah, I do remember that. And even our interests, because we both wanted to go hiking. We both wanted to do Machu Picchu. We both wanted to then do the Grand Canyon. And it just seemed like a kindred spirit. That's how I left that coffee, is like a kindred spirit. So, I mean, I knew earlier probably, well, then you say you did because we did the tarot stuff later on. But I knew pretty early on. I mean, sometimes, like I said, it can be something like looking at a picture. I have a friend that I met on a dating app, and I looked at her picture, and the first thing I said is, I know you from somewhere. Mm-hmm. I couldn't, and actually it was really interesting because I was like, oh, I think this might be this person that I went to college with. I can't remember her name. And I'm like, I don't think it was this name, but I Googled her and tried to look, and I couldn't find anything because I didn't know what her name was. And then I was like, I don't know how I know this person. And I've gone on to write a book about knowing this person. And so sometimes I can feel it in that sense, like immediately by like an initial meeting or a picture, or I can turn around and I might know after one or two kind of get togethers, but usually it doesn't grow into that. It doesn't grow into that. Even with my current partner, even though you might not say I was like drawn, I couldn't be drawn romantically. I was in a relationship at the time, but I was definitely like drawn to something in her picture. She was the only person that I've ever reached out to up to that point through Facebook and commented on a hike that she had posted. There were hundreds of other people that have posted stuff. And so for whatever reason, I was drawn through that picture to connect. And so, and even though I didn't know what that meant at the time, and we were only friends for a couple of years, that was a draw also.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be through pictures. It could be through.
But also your energy. I mean, yes, you were in a relationship and you did nothing inappropriate, but I asked you, what is your deal? Like, so there was something there. Like, I've never felt that compulsion, you know, or that I've seen a picture and thought, oh, I know that person, you know?
Yeah.
The only other thing I had was that twin flame thing where in my head, and this is a person I would never, I was just about to swipe whatever, no. And then in my head, it was like a piece of wood came into my head. This is how I visualized it. Like inserted into my head, said, do not pass this by.
Mm-hmm.
So in the end, it ended up being a huge, huge learning lesson for me, right, and gave me a lot of things that I need going forward in life that actually helped me, even though it's an awful, awful situation, you know, from the outside. Like, so I feel like maybe my stuff has come more in like a learning thing until now. And, you know, that's really for me is like, again, how did I get to this point of being so happy and getting what I want? And, you know, even before I met my wife, I told you, I felt like I was manifesting everything. Like I was getting everything that I wanted. It was freaking me out. Like, you know, it was freaking me out. And then I like slowed it down. And then I ended up, you know, meeting my soulmate. And so, and that was after the psychic told me that I was going to, and that it would happen very quickly. It'd be somebody that I knew of, but hadn't met, blah, blah, blah. And like, it all fell into place. It was like the puzzle pieces. But prior to, I mean, growing up, I always felt that I had lived in Russia before, that I was, you know, I had been in the World War II or the Holocaust. And like, I knew it's like, I felt more about place and time than I ever felt about people. And then only once that lady told us that, you know, we'd had this past relationship, and then the regressionist said I was in your past and also on your, you know, it was your spirit guide, your main one. Thank you very much. And that you had to listen to me. And the tarot card said, you've met a lawyer, listen to the lawyer. And then like all those things, again, it all clicked, and it could not have happened sooner. Like we couldn't have met. If we met sooner, I don't like that stuff. I would have had to like kick, like get out of my life, you know, I wouldn't have been able to embrace it. So I think timing is also so important in these situations.
Right. Like we talked about in our timing episode, right? It's like, maybe you are drawn to somebody later on in life, but you've known them earlier, and maybe you weren't drawn to them because it wasn't the right time for you to forge a connection or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so that happens too. So in some ways, in your case, you've only been drawn to a couple of people. One is with your wife, one is with me, but that took a little bit of time. And then with me, I usually know right away. There's a lot of people though that I would say, before we talk about repulsion, because I think this one's interesting, is there's a lot of people that I think the majority of people in my world that fall into the neutral category. I'm not drawn to or repulsed by them. They just play a role in my life and they're great. They're fun to have around.
In this life.
That I may or may not see them again. I don't feel like there's some kind of deep soul connection to them in any other life, in a good way or bad way. I just feel like they are like a supporting actor in my show this time around.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say probably a good 80 to 90% of the people in my life fit in that category. So I don't have a draw. But then there's the people, you know, the 5% of people that I have a draw to, and then there's probably a 5% of people that I am repulsed by, and I continue to meet both types, you know, like, you know, when you run into people. But so let's talk, do you have people in the neutral category? The people that are just like
I think that's most of the people in my life.
Yeah.
I've really not repulsed by many people. And I mean, I may not engage with people after I find out that they're like toxic, but I'm talking like repulsion. Like,
yeah,
different. That lady is a witch. She is a witch.
Right. Well, and I mean, that's the thing too, is like when we're talking about repulsion, we're talking about it at a soul level. We're not just talking about personality differences,
right,
or someone's not nice or whatever, because, you know, you don't want to be around those people anyways. But the idea is that you can feel, even without them having done a lot of interactions, you just know something is off.
Right.
And you don't want them in your space.
And it may not be the same for other people, right? It's just like, it's particular. So if we did engage with people in our past lives, well, I engage with them differently. You know what I mean? Like, so yeah. it may be that that lady, for whatever reason, we're in the same neighborhood, and I had a bad situation with her in a past life. But that doesn't mean that what she is now, and I think of her as a witch, that she's going to affect you if you took a walk in my neighborhood.
Right.
Because you may have never had any dealings with her.
That's the thing. I mean, it'd be like, oh, she's just like a lady out walking.
Right.
And yeah. You're like, but I get this feeling. And I'm like, well, I don't get the feeling. But it's right. Not my past life that I maybe have had been wrong right. by her or something. And so that's the other thing to think about is sometimes when we get these feelings, this is like, think about this. We get these feelings of kind of like the ick or the creep or like, uh-oh, something's off with this person. And then when other people are like, no, nothing's off with that person. And then all of a sudden you're sort of like talked into in some ways being like, okay, I'll just overlook that. That must be just kind of off today. But instead, like, honor that, because your soul connection with that one person might be really, really different. Like, you have a soul history that other people don't share. And they're like, oh no, that lady's nice. I went to her house the other day, and you're like, I guess I'll come over then to her gathering. And you're like, I still feel icky. Something's off.
Right. Gotta honor it. I mean, that's intuition, right?
That is intuition.
People can be dangerous to us from past lives, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, they can. Well, it's interesting because I just finished the show Life After Life.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a lot of thoughts about it.
Okay. Do you share?
Well, I think the ending was like very abrupt, and I needed another.
Okay, no spoilers. Yeah, I agree.
But anyways, I do think what's interesting is that there were people that she had confronted in some of her earlier lives. It's about a woman who is continually reborn into her own life. And she kind of keeps a little bit of residual memory from the previous life, but doesn't know that that's what it is, and makes slightly different choices every life to improve her outcome. And so in one, you know, there's one iteration where she meets somebody who is not good for her, not healthy for her, and then comes back many, many lives later and runs into this person on the street as a passerby who offers to help her, and she screams and no, and she probably doesn't know where that's coming from, but avoided that interaction. So it's kind of like that witch for you. It's like, I don't know where this is coming from, and maybe I'm even overacting, but something feels off.
Well, it's interesting because with the witch, I do not feel like I'm overreacting. Like the guy the other morning that I screamed at, who I said, get the F away from me and stay away from me. I was yelling, screaming at 5:30 in the morning. I mean, you know, someone was kidnapped near us, as we know, Savannah Guthrie's mom, Nancy Guthrie, and she's not been found. And there was a break-in in our neighborhood. And I mean, that may have just been like, you know, normal police me and woman me having my intuition of a man shouldn't be approaching me in the dark, you know? And the fact that he continues to approach even when I have dogs and he could be bitten, like, he's a danger. So that could have just been stranger danger,
right?
You know, but I felt like there's been a couple of times in my life, like once when I was a cop, I was walking up to a car we pulled over that was a convertible in a like not generally like dangerous area. And I just out of my mouth, I said to my partner, he was going to the driver's side and I was going to the passenger side, there's a gun in the car. And like, it came out of my mouth. I didn't see the gun. I didn't know that it was there. They had shoved it down between the driver's seat and the passenger seat. But like, it just like, I don't know. It came out of my mouth. So I do feel like that's somebody keeping you alive, or you know what I mean? Like, or is your intuition so strong? Like, how could I have known there was a gun in that car? I could not have, you know. And I encountered situations with people with guns all the time. And so in 8 years, yes, I had many physical fights, but I never like got shot or anything like that. And that's my good fortune also. But I do feel like it's every time something was super dangerous that you wouldn't have, that an outside observer wouldn't have seen as dangerous. Like, okay, you're just pulling these people over in a pretty populated, like hip and happening neighborhood. You wouldn't think like they'd start shooting at you, right? But like something in me said, this is a bad situation. Mm-hmm. And I knew. So I do, like, I feel like, what is that? Is it someone looking out for you from above? Is it something else, you know?
Right, your own intuition, your learned memory from past lives, is it?
But like at that point in my life, nobody that I was close to in this lifetime had died. So it's not like, oh, you know how like I'm listening to that book, The Light Between Us, and she talks about, you know, how these people are on, you know, she communicates with people from the other side and they're like, hey, I'm looking out for you. I know I was a jerk in our life, so here I am trying to make it up, or I know, you know, I loved you so much and I'm up here rooting for you and helping you. And I never had a single one of those people. I didn't know anybody at that point, like in my life, who I had been close to who had died, other than like a college friend, but I doubt he was still hanging around, you know what I mean? So it's like,
probably your intuition. It's probably your right. past life stuff. I mean, right. that's the thing, is like you either get messages from like the divine or like spirits, universe, you get it from past, you know, crossed over loved ones, you get it from your own past life memories. I mean, all those things coalesce in such a way to help guide us in our spirit guides and angels, you know. I mean, there's so many different entities and experiences that are programmed into the divine and the cosmos and the metaphysical, whatever you want to call it, to help protect us. It's just that when we block them out, we end up surrounding ourselves with people that are super unhealthy, that are going to do things to us, even against our own kind of intuition or feelings. We miss out on opportunities for things that are good because we use the rational mind to talk ourselves out of things. Mm-hmm. It's this idea of just being more open. You know, I've talked about it before, but you know, my mom comes to me quite a bit and she leaves pennies. Mm-hmm. And so like right when I need something, or like I'm thinking about something, or I'm torn between a decision, I'll find a penny on the ground in the weirdest places. And so, you know, is that just because people drop coins? Maybe. Do you know how many more pennies I find than any other coin? I mean, okay, drop some quarters so I can put them in a jar, but pennies, I find them. And it's been interesting because I've had two people in my life that continue to find an obscene amount of pennies. And I've told my mom, I said, I really appreciate it because I know that, you know, you're dropping them to support them because they're in my life. And my mom had never met either of these people. And mm-hmm. they both believe that my mom is giving them messages. And so I believe it too. So I think we're being watched over. But like, it's interesting because I was thinking about something the other day as I was walking, and I was like, I was thinking about a decision that my partner had made that I was really, really excited about. I was really supporting her on this decision she was making. And I was like walking through the neighborhood and just smiling, beaming about it. And I looked on the ground and there was a penny. And I feel like it was my mm-hmm. mom saying like, okay, she's going in the right direction. And so sometimes I think that we get those kinds of affirmations, and it, like when we're talking about being attracted to people, attracted to places, repulsed by people.
But
places,
it's interesting because you, yeah, but you feel like you met your mom before. Like you've said that. You feel like this isn't your first lifetime with your mom.
No,
like,
it's not.
Like people who have difficult relations with their parents or something. Like I don't believe, you know, that we have to like have another life with these people, or so it's very interesting because I like that's somebody you feel like not just in this lifetime was your mother and you were close to her, but that you have a past life with her. Because what is she going to just sit up there forever and do that?
Maybe.
Does she have no life of her own?
Well, I mean, it's not linear up there. She can probably do 10 things at
once. Well, we don't know. What do you imagine that she's doing?
I mean, she's probably
like in your mind, what is she doing?
She's spreading light to all the people that she loves.
Like here on Earth or up there?
I think
like,
she
does she
probably
get to come back? Like you're the one who keeps coming back to this life, you know?
Yeah.
Lifetimes.
I mean, does part of her soul stay there? Because
right.
what happens if someone's reborn like immediately after they die, then they're not up there? They're not.
That's why I didn't like that book Elsewhere. You have to read it.
Yeah.
I can't tell you, but like yes,
We don't know. But all I know is that I do feel like she surrounds me and provides me guidance. And she, you know, tells me when I'm with the right people or when I'm not with the right people or doing the right thing or not doing the right thing. Like I can feel like this divine attraction is, you know, not just to like people as we've started talking about, but it's to experiences, right? Like sometimes people are like really attracted to like a job. They're like, I feel like I'm supposed to be in this job. Like if there's something, I can't put my finger on it. That's how I felt about my professor job that I have now. I got that offer a year before I took it. It was for a different job. It was for a visiting assistant professor, and it was only 9 months, and I was contemplating it, you know, and I hadn't been offered the job fully, but I had been, it was a finalist and it was likely going to happen. And I couldn't take it for logistical reasons, but I said, I will work there. I'm going to work there. That is my like soul place. I know I'm supposed to be there. I know I'm supposed to work there. And then like 9 months later, they called me back and said, we have an opening for a full-time kind of continuing appointment, assistant professor. Are you interested? And I said, absolutely. And it was completely an upheaval in my life. I mean, I was living in Tucson. I was co-parenting my kid who wasn't going to move with me. I would have to move to Ohio. My partner lived in Tucson and was stationed at the Air Force Base here, could not move to Ohio. And I left my house and everything to go. But I knew I was supposed to be there. I knew I was. And now I'm finishing up year 11. And that job has changed my life. And I've never had any doubts that I'm supposed to be working there.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. So I've had this attraction to a job. I knew it immediately. I knew when I met the people at the interview, I was like, this is home. This is where I'm supposed to be. And I get that feeling a lot.
I know. That's what I was going to say. Like, again, I mean, this again, okay. Sometimes it can be hard with you because you're like, oh, I got this and I got that. And this worked out and that worked out and it all worked out and it's even better. And now it's great. And it's this, and I have these feelings and I feel like, maybe it's because you have come so many times, everything just easier because that shit does not work out for regular people in that way. You know what I mean? Like yeah. That could have been a total disaster for somebody else. And it's weird. Everyone wants to critique me about my career, but I feel like I am where I need to be. Like did I tell you this already? Like, I feel like this lifetime is for relationships. Like I'm here to deepen relationships and that's what I want to be doing. And so like, I don't care, but I never get that. It's not like, you know, oh, the ideal job just fell in my lap. I mean, I've had good luck with jobs, but nothing that I ever even wanted to stay with. And I had such like, I wanted out of that. Like I loved being a cop in some ways, but I didn't like the culture and I wanted out so badly. And then I spent 20 years like, oh, I want to go, but never finding anything else that I liked as much, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I wonder if when you're reading that book about how to develop your psychic abilities, I wonder if you're going to get to a point where you are going to open yourself up for much more, like a divine knowing pipeline. I mean, you have intuitive gifts, but for me, I get these pings and I follow them. I almost always follow them now. And
do you get them after you put like something out into the universe or do you get them and then you follow them? And thanks for reminding me about that book. I totally forgot about it.
No, I get them like ahead of time. I get them ahead of time. Like something will come to me usually in the form of just a knowing. And then I'm like, okay, I need to call this person today, or I need to reach out and do this. And sometimes they don't lead to anything, but sometimes they do. And so I don't know, when you say things come easy for me, I think there's a lot of things that have been really hard, but I try to follow the flow a little bit more than I used to. And it's working out a lot better than when I was trying to force. And so I'm trying to say like, and I've done that with this last, you know, almost year of kind of cleansing my social palette, right? This idea of like who gets to be in my social space. And I had a lot of people that were not value added. And so, and I looked around and said, who am I drawn to? Who do I want to be around? Who do I want to surround myself with? And I let just like nature take its course. And it was ugly there for a while. It was tough, but I let nature take its course and it sort of recalibrated without me having to force anything. And so it does, the process comes easily, but going through it is really sometimes very jarring. Like, yeah, it was great. I got this like great job up in Ohio and it was my dream job to be a professor. And it felt like a divine intervention. It was my thing, but guess what? I had to like leave my 4-bedroom house in Tucson and go up and live in like student housing and, you know, blizzards and away from my kid and away from my partner. So that part wasn't easy, but the decision was easy. So I think that's the part where the knowing comes into play.
But you made a decision that most people would find like, ugh, that's too much work, too much whatever, based on solely like, most people look at that objectively and say, that's just too much. It's too much difficulty. Why would I do that to myself? And I guess what I'm saying is like, I mean, I've moved around a lot. I've moved around the country. I've left jobs. I've had a pretty good life, but I've never felt like, oh, I need to do like, I never felt like, oh, I'm making the right decision. I just kind of do stuff, but it's never like, oh, I get a message like you should do this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I get like an overwhelming sense of comfort and peace. Like if I think about something like,
but did you like start looking for like professor jobs and then that one was there?
I was in a scramble. I was leaving my job at the U of A and I needed something. So I found a temporary job and I just threw my hat in the ring and I had an interview with Wright State. And then I was like, oh, I'm going to work there. I want to work there. And that wasn't the job for me. And even I knew that on kind of a soul level because it would be expired in 9 months. Mm-hmm. And then, but when it came back around that they decided to have a full-time position, I was like, that's the one that was waiting for me. So it was very mm-hmm. easy for me to make that decision. Even though I knew it would uproot my life, if it was the right decision, that uprooting would be easy. And while I said it was like, I didn't want to live in like student housing and the blizzard and stuff, the process was relatively easy. I got the job. I was able to go back and forth to Arizona. I was able to eventually, you know, be able to have my kid come out there quite a bit. I bought a house. My partner was able to move up there. Like things fell into place and I had to trust that. And so even though I say I didn't really have my big intuition opening, reopening and, you know, to like 5 years ago or 4.5 years ago, really, I've always been intuitive. And whenever I follow those kinds of things, those processes, those hunches, the knowings, it like almost always turns out great. Mm-hmm. It's when my head gets in the way, mm-hmm. you know, and sometimes I do the opposite is I talk myself like into something that's not very, that doesn't feel soulfully good, but looks really mm-hmm. good on paper. Right. Like, you know, where I'm like, ooh, I should go on this date with this person because all of these things are in alignment and, but I'm not really soulfully drawn to them, but I'm like, ooh, but rationally, this is great. This is a good match. Or I should do this project because it, you know, it's I got all the right things, but it doesn't feel like it doesn't feel right. Mm-hmm. You know,
well, so is it every time I feel sick looking at an attorney job ad, is that telling me something? Do I need to listen to that?
You do need to listen to that.
Like my other friends say, I'm just a spoiled brat.
No, if that's not your calling.
Ugh, makes me sick.
Well, then don't
when
do
I look
do
at
it.
The ads. I know.
No, but you have to do what it is that you are drawn to wanting to do, you know, and who cares about what other people think? I mean, at some point in time, you might need to make some money. So you do think about that. But what is it that you are drawn to? And then in your case, what are you repelled by? This divine attraction, mm-hmm. like I said, goes well beyond people. You know, mm-hmm. if you are repulsed by the idea of being a lawyer, that's important to pay attention to.
Right.
You know? So
I am repulsed.
You're repulsed. So we talked about being attracted to or drawn to or repulsed by people, by jobs, by even places. Has there ever been somewhere where you've gone to like a geographic location where you said this feels like so soulfully fulfilling?
Fulfilling?
Yeah, like it feels like place, like it's in your heart. Like Thailand or?
100% Thailand, but Elephant Sanctuary, Elephant Nature Park in particular. Mm-hmm. I could live there. I'd be happy there. I love it there. It's just so peaceful. But part of that is, I mean, there's terrible places right around there, you know, elephant abusers, but like on the property, I never feel bored there. I feel at, that is like, if I had a soul place, that would be it.
Well, maybe it is.
I've never traveled other places. I mean, my sister and my friends would say that I complained a lot about Seattle because of the weather, but I do think Seattle is I think it's the best city, one of the best cities in the world, but, like I went to Stockholm. I really like that. Berlin, I felt an immediate repulsion. I hate Berlin. I hated North Carolina, hated being there, hated living there, hated everything about it. It did not, mm-hmm. it made me feel awful. I felt terrible there. And I've mixed about Tucson. It's like some days I'm like, look at us. We don't have to worry about icy roads and it's, you know, winter and we're wearing a light puffy jacket and we can hike every single day of the year. And oh, it rained yesterday, so I didn't take the dogs out, but then I took them out today. Like I don't have to, we don't have to get wet and gross. Like if you're in Seattle, your dog, you have to take your dogs out no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
So like there are days when I'm like, this is really like easy, beautiful. I look at a mountain every day outside of my house. I live at the base of a big mountain, but then I drive and I'm like, this is the ugliest place on earth. I hate it here. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then I went to the pig sanctuary the other day and yes, it was warm, but it was, thank God, some cloud cover and it's going to be really hot in the summer. But I was like, isn't this magical? These pigs, rescue pigs living amongst the saguaros and the, you know, snakes. There was a snake right there. It was a gopher snake, but not a rattlesnake. But, you know, I was like, well, this seems pretty nice for pigs. It's going to be really hot in a couple months. But, like, I guess they just lay in the mud that's created for them and shade that's created for them. But, like, I mean, I do miss the Pacific Northwest a lot. But then when I see, like, pictures of it in houses, like, where you have to get on your roof and scratch, you know, get the moss off from under the shingles. I don't want that. Mm. It's so easy living here. Like, why am I such a complainer? You know?
Well, something about it has never been a major draw for you. Like in the rational sense, it makes, I mean, there's no reason for you to move from here because you own your home. It's super cheap cost of living. The weather is excellent. It's a great place for retirement because, you know, it's easy to get around and there's a lot of services and health care and mm-hmm. all that stuff and hiking and all the things you love to do. But there's always been a part of you that has not felt like this was home. Mm-hmm. And I know that. And I've talked to you from a rational perspective of like, don't run because you don't know where you're running to right now. And so not that you can't leave somewhere unless you have somewhere to go to, but in the economy we have today, it is a little challenging to do that. So
in the housing market we have today, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. This is your point. Like I would trade stability and low. I mean, I got into my house, you know, at a, when the interest rates were still low. And so it doesn't make sense. I mean, I'd literally be, I still feel it and I feel that desire, but I know myself also, I'd go up there and then I'd be complaining about the rain.
Right.
But Thailand's different. Like Thailand is just, I mean, being on an elephant sanctuary, that's just different. I mean, it's like everything I could ever want in life. I'm looking at a photo, like the book of the elephant sanctuary right now, like my house, you know, I have Buddhas, like 9 Buddhas in front of me. So I do incorporate those aspects here. Right. And there are certain things that I do love about it here. And I think some of it's just being a person, an adult in the world and making friends. How do you make friends? How do you have community? What do you want out of your community? And thinking, oh, somewhere else will be better, you know, but there's no guarantee of that, you know?
No, but it's interesting though, because we talk about this in the sense of attraction and repulsion, right? Like my brother said to me, I wish I lived somewhere or even knew where to live that I would love as much as you love where you live. And other people.
And has he ever lived elsewhere?
Not really.
It's like you, again, just the same as with your jobs. It's like with the living, you just love it here.
I just know. And I've tried to force things where I've lived other places and, you know, in my tenure,
you just don't like the Bay Area. Some people love it, but you don't
did not like
it.
I
and
tried
your daughter
it
doesn't like it. Yeah.
And I lived in Ohio and I didn't really like living in Ohio. I struggled with the weather. I struggled with the community. And, you know, I mean, I love my colleagues and I love my job and I've got friends there, but like, it wasn't a fit for me. And I knew that. And so I had to come home. But like, that's the thing is I, you know, once I honor where I feel attracted to either people or places or jobs or whatever, it usually unfolds really well. And I'm doing a lot better now than I was even 5 years ago of trying to resist, right? Like, it's like, mm-hmm. you know, I have this pull to something and then I talk myself out of it because of this rational this and this rational that. And it's like, you know, I literally left a higher paying job, a work from home job that I actually enjoyed while I was living in Tucson when my daughter was in kindergarten, to take this professor job with a pay cut to move out to Ohio by myself. And I had the worst teaching schedule. Even on Monday nights, I had to teach from 8 to 10:30 PM on campus. And in snowy blizzards, it was like, everybody from a rational sense was like, what on earth are you doing? And I was like, I am supposed to be doing this. Trust me. I said, watch, in 5 years, I'm going to have tenure and I am going to be in a much better situation. And even within 3 years, I had tenure. With 2 more years, I had tenure and was now, you know, I was an associate professor and I moved back to Arizona and now I'm a full professor and I live in Arizona in my house. And but I knew I had to go through that because that was the only way to get where I am now. But I knew it. I felt it. I was drawn to it, you know?
Well, I feel like in this lifetime for you, you have said before that things are easier for you than probably for other people. I think like it's your expertise in coming back and like, because you're so familiar with coming back here over and over, like you take these pings, as you call them, and you act on them. Most people can't hear the pings, or maybe they're not even open to getting them.
And then if they do, they don't
act on them. Maybe they're not getting them because they're not open to getting them.
Right. And then if they get them, they don't act on them. Like the going to Ohio, people will be like, no, that's not going to work. That's a bad idea. And so I think that's what happens. And so I say yes to these things. And so it's only when I either go towards something that I feel repelled by, or I don't honor something I'm drawn to, that's when there's a problem. Because like all the people that I'm drawn to, those have always been good relationships, friendships, whatever, even co-working relationships, the job, my cat, my home, the house that I live in right now. When I first walked into this house, it was really interesting. I was with my realtor. We were looking for a rental to buy a rental, an investment property. And this was like the neighborhood next door to the one that my partner and I were living in at the time. And she couldn't come on the tour, but my realtor took me to this house and we walked in and like the entire ceiling was missing from the living room. It was black mold. Like it had, obviously it was a flat roof. It had caved in from the water collection and created so much mold. I mean, the shower was completely, somebody had taken a saw and cut out the shower walls, including where all the pipes were, and stole all the copper piping. And anyways, this place was not livable. It was uninhabitable. There was no electricity. Like, and I walked in and I initially liked it, but it smelled like cigarette smoke. And I was like, somebody who smoked lived here. And I was like, gosh, it smells like really like cigarette smoke. That is the weirdest thing. So about a week later, I couldn't stop thinking about this house, even though it smelled like cigarette smoke and was a total trash pit. And I called my realtor and I said, can you take me back? There's something about that house. And he took me back. We walked in and there was no smell of cigarette smoke. So it was like, clearly it wasn't somebody who had lived here. He said, well, maybe somebody just walked through it and they were smoking while they walked through it right before we came. And we could never figure it out. Made an offer on the house at an auction that night, got the house, and then we spent the next like 6 to 8 weeks fixing it up. But I would come over here by myself and I would paint a wall or do something. We did a lot of the fixing up ourselves. And I would come over here and I kept calling this place my sanctuary. And I felt so at peace when I would come to this house, even though it was in complete disarray. And I loved this house and it was not the one we were living in. And when my partner and I separated 2 years later, I was looking for another house to live in because we were going to keep this one as a rental and she was going to stay in our family home. And it ended up being that our tenants were moving out and I was like, I'm just going to move into that house. That's my sanctuary. That's my special safe place. And I've known that this house is my soul house. And I've always known that it was my soul house. I couldn't get it out of my mind, even though it smelled like cigarette smoke and it was completely trashed. I was like, that's my soul house. And it is. It's my soul house. And I'm living in my soul.
Isn't it interesting? It's like an allegory, an analogy or a metaphor for your life is like you take something that's so shitty and turn it into something good. Yeah. You take something that no one else would want or do, and then it works out. So maybe risk is part of, you know, like the fact that you're willing to risk what other people might not ends up paying off for you.
Right. Like the job, right? Taking the risk of leaving my hometown.
Right.
But guess what? I'm back and I live here in my soul house, in my soul community. now in with my soul partner. And my soul cat just passed away, but and now I'm surrounded by, you know, some people that are soulfully my friends. And it's like, you know, but those haven't been easy. Now, and I have my soul calling. I mean, I just finished, you know, my book, The Soulmate Strategy. And I told you that was a calling. That was a soul calling to write that book out of anything I've ever done. And, but it wasn't easy to do that too, emotionally or physically easy to write that book. So none of these are like the easy path.
And yet you persevere.
But
you keep pushing.
The decision, like I say, is very easy. It's very clear to me what I should be doing. But, you know, the process, the doing it isn't always easy. Like moving into this dump of a house, there was a lot of work to be done, trying to commute to and from Ohio, writing this book, you know, all of it. Even my cat, she was sick. She was sick from the day that I adopted her. So she wasn't an easy cat to have, but she was my soul cat. So it's like, I don't know. I just listen to the pings, even if they seem completely unrealistic and they seem completely like, you know, like rationally, that's not a good idea. If I'm drawn to something, I go for it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when's the last time you went for something that you were drawn to besides your wife, like something in your life?
Just a lot of silence now.
Yeah.
Except for my kitchen composter going around and around. I'm telling you, it's like my whole point of existing was to get to where I am right now.
Okay, but aside from like your wife and the kids, what other relationships are, you're all about relationships. So what other relationships are there?
No, like I had to, those were like on a ladder that I had to climb. Like I had a rung on each, like I had to, like a video game. I had to get through each rung. I had to get through each level to get to the top. And that's where I'm then with like my career and all that. It's like I'm just a person bobbing in the sea with no direction whatsoever.
Because you've been focusing on this ladder of relationships.
Yeah, I mean, I just have never focused on career. I still think I need to go back to something like policing, but is that going to happen for a 55-year-old? I don't think so. I mean, maybe.
Maybe, or maybe there's
maybe they had to get rid of my Buddha belly.
Yeah, but I mean, what kind of pings? Are you opening yourself up to pings?
No.
See, that's the thing is you've been trying to rationalize.
I feel like I'm so happy. Would it be better if some money fell in my lap? Sure.
Yeah, but open yourself up to pings in other areas. You're happy in your relationship. Yes, but there's other areas of your life that are things that would bring you joy also. So what kind of pings are you allowing yourself to get in those areas? Career, financial, friendship. I mean, who knows? Volunteer work. I mean, what are you opening yourself up to?
Nothing right now. I feel like I'm open. I feel like I'm open to that, but I'm just not... I don't know. I have like zero draw to anything right now, career-wise. I'm talking career-wise. So like.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you've also been trying to force that draw. It's ironic watching you because you watched me do it with my love life for so long. And I've been watching you do the same exact thing with your career. You're trying to find a calling and trying to talk yourself into things. You've tried to talk yourself into being a writer. Then you talk yourself out of it. You talk yourself into being a stand-up comic. Then you talk yourself out of it. You talk yourself into maybe going back in the police force. Then you talk yourself out of it. You talk yourself going into the legal field.
Oh,
but
my
not
gosh.
Litigating.
Doesn't it
and then
look
you
like
talk
we're out
of
time?
I know, but
listeners.
I'm just saying like what? You are forcing yourself to be drawn to something and you're just
okay,
not.
Okay, I hate being... Okay, I like the business that I came up with. I really do. Like, I want to be a legal advisor, divorce coach, and parenting coordinator. I just wish that I had the money to, like, hire someone to pimp me out, right? To do that, to build that business. I actually like that work. Like, I've had a couple clients. I love it. It actually makes me feel great. It's the other part. It's the advertising. It's all that I don't like. And I don't like working for someone else. It's true. I can't even imagine going back to working for someone at this point. I don't know that I could do it. I literally could just skate by until what's it called? Social Security kicks in.
Yes, I know. Okay, but here's the thing. So as we talked earlier, you said things come easy for me. The decision comes easy, but the actual execution of it is never easy. It's actually mostly very, very difficult. Like I said, deciding to write my memoir and actually, like, you know, the story of it was easy to unfold. The actual hustle behind it has been really, really, really busy and difficult and challenging, but not in a way that's like soulfully that, but just logistically, it's been a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And so it takes a lot of work. It took a lot of work for me to get tenure in my job. So like the draw is the decision. The draw isn't the fact that the whole thing comes as a package delivered to you. So once you have this feeling that you need to be somewhere, like I wanted to have this house. I was over here every day for months, like, you know, painting walls and doing stuff. So you have to put in the work. It's just the decision. The universe gives you the answer, the decision, but it doesn't do all the work for you.
Why is it so easy for me to be a stay at home? I'm doing everything. I do the driving of everybody. I do all the shopping. I do all of the stuff. I manage everything. It's so easy.
Well, yeah, like because you don't have a lot to manage. You have a tiny little house and you have one kid in there and two kids.
Oh, my God.
Part-time. I'm not going to.
That's.
I mean, you're not Alice from Brady Bunch. I mean.
Oh, what did she do? Did she clean that house? I don't think so.
I don't know. I think
there's
it was
no
clean.
Way that Alice could have cleaned that house. Cooked all those meals. And you know, Carol was sometimes in there in the kitchen with her, but we know that Carol wasn't cooking.
Well, we know Carol
there's no
wasn't
way
working
Alice...
either. Why was Carol not working? Like, that's what I don't understand.
They're
like,
not working. It was like the 1960s or
well,
70s.
I'm just saying they
women
didn't need
didn't
Alice.
Work back
I don't
then.
Know. They like,
well, yes, they did. Okay. There you go. Carol wasn't working and she had Alice. I mean, there's your answer right there. Like Carol did not work and she had Alice. To supposedly do everything. And I guarantee you, Alice was not cleaning that house. Every once in a while, she'd be seen with the vacuum. But come on, who's scrubbing those floors?
The set designers and the producers of the show.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Those kids aren't leaving their socks all over the place either. But you like being a domestic caretaker is what I'm getting. You like being able to just sort of be this kind of person who takes care of the house duties and you like that, but you also have some discretionary time even after doing that. Do you want to like live
a life
of leisure?
Yeah, I want my business. No. My wife always says she's never met someone who's so busy and with so much energy as I have. And I'm up at 4 or 5. I'm ready to go. I'm not a leisure person. I don't actually like leisure. I think leisure is too grotesque and lazy. It's because I'm ADHD and I like physical, I need to physically do something. I actually look down on leisure. I don't do leisure. I mean, when I go on trips, I literally work my ass off physically and then worked at night. It's the like, it's the thinking of, it's like the, how do I climb? How do I actually, I see other people doing it and I just don't have it in me.
Well, and you don't have to have it in you.
I don't have it in me to like put up with other people's stupid meetings or how they're going to talk to me. I don't have it in me. And then so, okay, I do my own business, but maybe I just should hire someone to do the marketing. Maybe I just suck it up and pay the money. You know what I mean?
Cost sharing. Do a cost sharing. Bring someone on as a headhunter for every person they find that, you know, like you pay them a percentage.
Interesting.
You know, I mean, there's ways to do it, but you know, if you really feel like you're being called to or drawn to doing the legal advising, you got to put in the effort or the work or find a solution somewhere because it's not just going to come to you. And when I do say about like the domestic caretaking, I think there's something really important in that because it is a legitimate role. It is. And I don't want to underestimate it or anything. I'm saying like, I know that with the size of your home and the amount of people in it, that it probably doesn't take up your whole 8-hour day. And now that you're getting into more and more routines and things, you're finding ways to streamline. And so you're going to end up with more discretionary time because you're finding ways to kind of cut things, you know?
Yeah. Like so if someone would do the getting the clients for me, because I do feel like as the lawyer, I don't like to do that. I don't like to sell people. You know what I mean? Like I want to help people. So when I help people with the legal problems, which every person that I helped, you know, the last 2 months said, thank God for me. They, you know, this and that. It's always good, but it's the selling. It's like, I can sell other people's stuff, but I can't like something is, it's grotesque to me to try and like sell my own services. It's gross. So well, maybe then this discussion, I know I'm going to hire someone to do the marketing.
Yeah. Or you
my
be,
website
you,
already looks fantastic. I already feel good about that. You know?
Okay. And you did that on your own. But the whole thing is like, again, the calling for you is the work. It's not the,
right.
It's the actual legal advising. It's
not the
logistics.
Hustle of getting the business. Like,
but
you
it has
like
to be done.
Entrepreneurial stuff. Like you I like know. That part.
I know, but
I
if it's not your
like
thing,
it.
Then it's not your thing. But
and I started out very young as a cop and putting on a uniform and going to work and going out as part of an organization, right? So when I arrived somewhere, everybody knew who I was right away. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, here I am. This is what I'm here to do, to create calm out of chaos, to help those who are injured and to, like, you know, some people can think cops suck, but, you know, when I was a cop, there were some sucky cops, but there was a lot of good ones too. And I was a good one. And so my purpose was to help people, but I didn't have to go out there and like, hey, ring me up. I'm not 911. I'm 912. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. You're yes.
Call me. So that's where I'm having the difficulty.
Well, here's the thing is you are drawn to the work of helping people. You are repelled by what it's going to take to get you to be able to do that in this mm-hmm. current structure,
in
this current structure. But there's other ways you can structure things to do it. You know?
Okay. Well, you think about that. And let's talk about that later. I'm sure we're boring people to death. Although
no.
this could be,
no, I don't think
this might
so.
Be very good.
This is interesting because we're talking about divine attraction. Why are we pulled to some things and some people and some jobs and some tasks and some places and completely repelled by others? Right.
Right. Because when I do the actual work, I love it. But when I have to like put the website together or like go looking for clients, it makes me want to barf. Like I feel like, oh God, I can't do this. But when I do the actual work with the people who need the help, love it.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it. It is like I could do it 12 hours a day, you know?
Yeah. No, I hear you. I hear you. But I think this is what's important because these are pings. You have to be continuing to be open to them. But here's the thing is you got to be creative around it. Like if you're getting a ping to do the legal advising, but you're repelled by doing the, you know, the kind of the logistical work behind it, you can't do the legal advising unless you find some way around the logistical stuff. You either work for someone else, you're mm-hmm. a 1099 contractor employee or an entrepreneur, you hire somebody, you cost share, whatever it is. But that's the thing is like, so you're getting some sense, you're getting the pings.
Mm-hmm.
So you are, but now you have to
right.
follow them. You can't just say, oh, well, I don't want to do that. So I'm not going to do that. Well, you have to open yourself up to figure out what is the next ping is the next ping. And mm-hmm. then are you attracted to the idea of more of, you know, getting someone to hire someone to help you? Because I can tell you, you're definitely repelled by working for someone else. So,
right.
And that could be just from this earth life about being just like exhausted with people's shenanigans in the workplace
right.
and the meetings and the endless stuff. But, you know, so, I mean, I think this is really good for our listeners to think about it. And one of the things I read in this article, and it was about people, but now that we've expanded this conversation beyond people to places and jobs and pets and all that kind of stuff is to make a list of kind of all the things that you feel like you are drawn to in your life, right? Like I might write my house, I might write Tucson, I might write my cat, my partner, my job, whatever it is, right? You might write your wife, you might write legal advising or helping people, the elephant sanctuary. You write all these things down and you write like, what about it makes you feel drawn to it? How do you know that mm-hmm. this is the right thing? Like, what does it feel like inside of you? Does it feel peaceful or does it feel comfortable? And then you explore that. And then you think, what are all the things that have come into alignment for me to have this connection, right? Like who did mm-hmm. I meet? Where did I go? What was I open to doing? And then how did I even receive that ping? And so that's one way to kind of look and see what pings are you really getting? And are there some you're not paying attention to? Like until this conversation, I hadn't thought about my house as my soul house really in that mm-hmm. exactly that terminology until today. And so it's like, yeah. So think about all of those things. And then on the flip side is you can also think about all those things in which you're repelled by, like not just mm-hmm. disinterested in, but repelled by, like you are absolutely repelled by doing some of this logistical work. You're repelled by litigation or there's something in there.
Right.
You were drawn enough to the legal field and then all of a sudden repelled by litigation. Was there something in your past? What are the things you're repelled to? The witch on your street, like, and right. then where might those pings be coming from? Like, where might those feelings be coming from? And start to kind of look at that. Because once you take an inventory of those things, you can start to get a better idea of the similarities of what they feel like, right? Like this, I can tell you the main feeling I get when I am drawn to something is a sense of peace in place, peace in place. Like this idea that I'm in the right place and I have a sense of peace over me. I feel like that when I'm with people I'm drawn to, when I'm in spaces I'm drawn to. And so I can recognize my pings better if something comes and I feel peace in place. I know that it's probably the right path for me. And so doing that audit or inventory can be really helpful. Hmm.
All right, I'm going to do that. I was looking for a pen while you were talking and couldn't find one. So let's do that later. And then in, I think we should have a whole season about, you know, jobs and things and career. And what does that mean? Because, you know, as we progress into the AI world, like people are really going to have to figure that out, like, you know, and what jobs are going to be there. I mean, I do really feel like I missed the mark in a lot of ways in not going to medical school, you know?
Yeah, well.
And that would have set me up for all kind of, like policing. I mean, there are different things you can do, but like you're still in that same kind of culture. Whereas, you know, medicine, there's just so many opportunities around the world for, and right. you know, and within. So I don't know. It's interesting.
But it's interesting. You missed that mark because you were supposed to miss that mark. Mm. Okay. And that's the thing. You were supposed to miss that mark because there is something better. Remember, the universe works for our highest and best, you know, good. Or, you know, it's like we think we want something, but the universe, if we just allow ourselves to have it, it will give us something even better.
Mm-hmm.
So sit with that and, you know, do your inventory and see what are those things that you're drawn to? What are you repelled by? And then open yourself up to more pings, because I think you have a lot, you're going to get, if you don't already, have a lot of the answers to your questions about the other areas of your life, your financial and your.
Is there something you know that I don't know? Or are you just saying this is like the process?
I am the facilitator of your process. Only you will know this. Only you will know this.
Oh, Lord. Okay. So, we'll talk about this more, I'm sure, in the future.
Yes. Yes, we'll exactly.
See if Tracy can get herself out of this rut.
It's been seasons and seasons of you debating like what to do for your job.
But it's always a different, I know, it's always a different rut though. Like I did have that job I really liked for a long time. You know, I've had several jobs that I actually really loved. And you know, people probably wouldn't, I mean, I was at the police department for 8 years. I was at the hotel in Wyoming for 3 years. I loved that job. Like, I loved that job. Oh, you coming in to hang out? Great. Like, that was it, you know?
Mm-hmm. I know. Well, open yourself up and you'll get more answers. But this has been a very fascinating conversation about divine attraction, divine repulsion, or, you know, being repelled in every area to people. So when we talk about soulmates, we're talking about everything connected in our soul circle. And so a lot of these things are connected. I wouldn't have met my person if I wasn't living in Tucson, for instance, or, you know, and so a lot of these things are all connected.
And if you weren't into hiking.
And if I, So it's exactly, these things are all way interconnected with this idea of who's in our soul circle and why we are where we are. But anyways, for all of our listeners out there, until our next episode, go out there and rock those relationships. If you liked what you heard, check out our show notes for resources from today's episode. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram under Rock That Relationship, and go to our website at rockthatrelationship.com for updated episodes and more great information.
Thanks for listening. Now go rock those relationships.